We welcome you to the auspicious occasion. I mean, it's auspicious in any case because devotees have gathered to chant and hear the glories of the Lord. But the special occasion is the second initiation of Her Grace Tulsi Manjari Devi Dasi. Tulsi Manjari Devi Dasi received first initiation in the Panchatattva temple in Laguna Beach. And for now, this is an expansion of the Panchatattva temple, because we have the Panchatattva and many devotees from the Laguna Beach temple and the temple president. Now, there are different stages in devotional service. In the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami has enumerated the different stages, which begin with Shraddha, Ado Shraddha. Shraddha means faith and attraction. A devotee must have some preliminary faith and attraction. Ado Shraddha, Tata Sadhu Sangha. And then he will start to associate with devotees, sadhus. And after associating with devotees for some time, he will think, I should take to the process more seriously like they are. I should also take initiation and make a commitment. And in ISKCON, as ordained by Srila Prabhupada, the basic commitment is to chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra daily, minimum, and to follow 4 regulative principles. No eating meat, fish, or eggs, no taking of intoxicants, including even coffee and tea and cigarettes, and no illicit sex. In other words, sex is only to be had within marriage for procreation, and no gambling or mental speculation. Then one enters the stage of bhajana kriya. And after proving one's steadiness, or demonstrating one's steadiness in chanting the prescribed minimum number of rounds and following the regulative principles, one is eligible for a second initiation. The first initiation is into the chanting of the holy name, the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hari Nam. And the second initiation is into the Gayatri Mantras. And at the time of second initiation, one is considered eligible to worship the deity. Now, this principle is explained philosophically in the Bhagavad Gita, and I'll just read this verse in purport because it is very nice. Please repeat after me. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. We shall read from the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter 14, the three modes of material nature. Now, earlier, Arjuna, the first student of the Bhagavad Gita, asked Krishna, how does one attain the transcendental position? And in this verse, Lord Krishna gives the answer. But I think that in this assembly of sages and saintly persons, you might already know the answer. So what is the means for attaining the transcendental position? Don't be shy. Well, Tukaram Prabhu.
Do you want me to give the answer, Maharaj?
We need someone to save the reputation of Laguna Beach devotees.
I'm assuming that you're thinking of a verse that occurs as the penultimate verse of the chapter, which is Mam Chayogi Pacharana.
Yes.
Bhakti Yogina Sevate.
Yes.
Sagunam Samati Taitan Brahmabhuya Kalpate.
Yeah. Bhakti. In other words, bhakti. Tukaram Prabhu gives regular classes on the Bhagavad Gita for those who want to learn more. Okay, so yes. So please repeat after me. Mam.
Mam.
Cha.
Cha.
Ya.
Ya.
Avyabhicharena.
Avyabhicharena.
Bhakti yogena.
Bhakti yogena.
Sevate.
Sevate.
Sa.
Sa.
Gunan.
Gunan.
Samatitya.
Samatitya.
Etan.
Etan.
Brahma Bhuyaya.
Brahma Bhuyaya.
Kalpate.
Kalpate.
Mamchayobhya Vicharena.
Mamchayobhya Vicharena.
Bhakti Yogena Sevate.
Bhakti Yogena Sevate.
Sagunan Samatitya Etan.
Sagunan Samatitya Etan.
Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate.
Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate.
Mam.
Mam.
Unto me.
Unto me.
Cha.
Cha.
Also.
Also.
Ya.
Ya.
A person who.
A person who.
Avyabhicharena.
Avyabhicharena.
Without fail.
Without fail.
Bhakti yogena.
Bhakti yogena.
By devotional service.
By devotional service.
Sevate.
Sevate.
Render service.
Render service.
Sa.
Sa.
He.
He.
Gunan.
Gunan.
The modes of material nature.
The modes of material nature.
Samatitya.
Samatitya.
Transcending.
Transcending.
Etan.
Etan.
All these.
All these.
Brahma Bhuyaya.
Brahma Bhuyaya.
elevated to the Brahman platform.
Elevated to the Brahman platform.
Kalpate
becomes.
Translation. One who engages in full devotional service, unfailing in all circumstances, at once transcends the modes of material nature and thus comes to the level of Brahman. Please repeat. One who engages in full devotional service,
in full devotional service,
unfailing in all circumstances,
unfailing in all circumstances,
at once transcends the modes of material nature,
at once transcends the modes of material nature,
and thus comes to the level of Brahman.
And thus comes to the level of Brahman.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. This verse is a reply to Arjuna's third question. What is the means of attaining the transcendental position? As explained before, the material world is acting under the spell of the modes of material nature. One should not be disturbed by the activities of the modes of nature. Instead of putting his consciousness into such activities, he may transfer his consciousness to Krishna activities. Krishna activities are known as bhakti yoga, always acting for Krishna. This includes not only Krishna, but his different plenary expansions such as Rama and Narayana. He has innumerable expansions. One who is engaged in the service of any of the forms of Krishna or his plenary expansions is considered to be transcendentally situated. One should note that all the forms of Krishna are fully transcendental, blissful, full of knowledge, and eternal. Such personalities of Godhead are omnipotent and omniscient, and they possess all transcendental qualities. So if one engages himself in the service of Krishna or his plenary expansions with unfailing determination, although these modes of material nature are very difficult to overcome, one can overcome them easily. This has already been explained in the 7th chapter. Devi hiye sugunamayi mama maya durateya, that this material energy, which consists of the three modes, is very difficult to overcome. But mam eviye prapadyante, one who surrenders to Krishna, mayam etam tarantite, easily crosses over Maya. One who surrenders unto Krishna at once surmounts the influence of the modes of material nature. To be in Krishna consciousness or in devotional service means to acquire equality with Krishna. Now, what does that mean? The Lord says that His nature is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. And the living entities are part and parcel of the Supreme, as gold particles are part of a gold mine. Thus the living entity, in his spiritual position, is as good as gold, as good as Krishna in quality. The difference of individuality continues. Otherwise, there would be no question of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga means that the Lord is there, the devotee is there, and the activity of exchange of love between the Lord and the devotee is there. Therefore, the individuality of two persons is present in the Supreme Personality and the individual person. Otherwise, there would be no meaning to bhakti yoga. If one is not situated in the same transcendental position with the Lord, one cannot serve the Supreme Lord. To be a personal assistant to a king, one must acquire the qualifications. Thus, the qualification is to become Brahman, or freed from all material contamination. It is stated in the Vedic literature, Brahmaiva san brahmapyeti. One can attain the supreme Brahman by becoming Brahman. This means one must qualitatively become one with Brahman. By attainment of Brahman, one does not lose his eternal Brahman identity as an individual soul. So to serve the supreme Brahman, Krishna, one must come to the Brahman platform. There must be equality in quality, not in quantity. Then one can serve. So by following bhakti yoga, especially the primary practices of chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and following the regulative principles, one is supposed to be on the Brahman platform. Of course, there are many hours in a day, and during the time when we are not chanting our rounds, we should also be thinking of Krishna, either by working for him directly or by offering the fruits of one's work to him. But whatever we do should be done in Krishna consciousness. So, of course, chanting the holy names, reading the revealed scriptures, associating with advanced devotees, worshipping the deity, and I may add that participating in functions in which the deity is being worshipped also counts as part of deity worship. As possible, residing in a holy place such as Mathura Vrindavan, Navadvip Mayapur, or any temple of Vishnu. So, being engaged in devotional service steadily for a certain period of time, the spiritual master and other authorities of the devotee may consider that the devotee is eligible to receive the second initiation, which is initiation into the Gayatri mantras, which again recognizes the devotee's progress to the point of being a Brahman. Brahmajana Titi Brahmana. A Brahman is one who knows Brahman or Krishna. Now, one who is actually a devotee is transcendentally situated. A Brahman is supposed to be at least in the material mode of goodness. But a pure devotee, as described in this verse, is beyond any of the modes of material nature. But Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, was concerned that people in India who had notions of caste by birth would think that the Vaishnavas are less than Brahmins, which is actually an offense. And so he instituted the practice of giving brahminical initiation, awarding the sacred thread to Vaishnavas, even if they were not born in Brahmin families, with the understanding that an actual Vaishnava is even greater than a Brahmin. When we were in South India, in Madras, we stayed in a home where the owner argued that we are Vaishnavas. He acknowledged that we are Vaishnavas, but we're not Brahmins. He said that a Vaishnava is greater than a Brahmin. You're greater than Brahmins, but you're not Brahmins. To be Brahmins, you have to take birth in a Brahmin family. So there were four people in our party at that time. Myself, Achyutananda, Bhavananda Prabhu, and one newer devotee from India. So Achyutananda asked the gentleman, what is more powerful, the holy name of Krishna or sinful reactions? So we had to admit the holy name of Krishna. And then Achyutananda Prabhu said that, well, one is born in a Brahmin family or another family based on his past karma, pious activities and sinful activities. So if the holy name of Krishna is more powerful than one's sinful activities, that means that in this lifetime one's sinful activities can be eradicated and one is no longer bound by the karma that caused him to take birth in a Brahmin family or otherwise. And actually, the Srimad Bhagavatam confirms the same fact, that even if one is born in a family of dog eaters, but if he's constantly chanting the holy name of the Lord, he is immediately eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. He doesn't even have to wait. Srila Jiva Goswami explains that ordinarily, even if one is born in a Brahmin family, he has to go through many purificatory procedures before he's considered eligible to perform Vedic sacrifices. But one who's chanting the holy name of the Lord is immediately eligible. So, how many people in this room have second initiation? Okay. So we will discuss a little bit about the Gayatri mantras, although many of you do not have them, but still you can learn from the discussion. So according to scripture, a mantra like these mantras that we will be giving to Tulsi Manjari today must have certain elements. One element is the mantra should begin with the syllable Om. Another element is the bij, the seed of the mantra. There are certain seeds it should contain the holy name of Krishna, and it should end with an offering of oneself in surrender, as indicated by the word Namaha or Svaha. Now, all of these different ingredients are involved in the Gayatri mantras. Oh, it's very powerful. All of these different elements combined. So it's a very condensed, potent combination of spiritual elements. And these mantras are meant to be recited 3 times a day. At sunrise, midday, and sunset. And there are 3 goddesses associated with those 3 times of day. And therefore, one should be very particular to chant one's mantras at the proper time. And if one does so, then those goddesses, the first is Savitri, second is Gayatri Devi, and third is Saraswati. So she will come and be with you when you chant your mantras, and that will give great potency to the chanting of your mantras. Now, someone may have service at the proper time for reciting the mantra. And there is a statement in scripture that if one is actually engaged in the service of the Lord, then 60,000 sages will chant your mantras at the proper time for you. That is explains how potent devotional service is, bhakti. Oh, this devotee is engaged in the service of the Lord. Okay, now 60,000 of you sages, you chant his mantras for him or her. But we should not take it lightly. And most of us, if not all of us, can set aside 5 or 10 minutes at the right time of day to chant our mantras. And that is really our duty, and then we get the benefit of having one of those 3 goddesses with us to empower us in our chanting. So we should take it very seriously, like this is our appointment with God. We know, okay, I have an appointment with God at sunrise time, at midday, at sunset. And we should keep our appointment with him and recite the mantras carefully, as one should every mantra, with the added help from these goddesses. become divine beings. Now, there is only Satchinandan Swami has actually written a whole book on the Gayatri Mantra called Gayatri, which I recommend to anyone who chants the Gayatri and even otherwise. But yes, so that's the basic idea of the Gayatri Mantras. And then, worshipping the deity, as we read, Brahma Bhuyaya Kalpate, one who is unfailing, at least in the minimum requirements for Harinam initiation. Can engage in the service of the deity. And it's mentioned in the Nectar of Devotion. You should read the Nectar of Devotion about deity worship. Only one who is, you know, properly situated can touch the deity. Otherwise, one should not touch the deity. And this deity worship is so sublime that the devotee is actually engaged in the same activities that one engages in with Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world, or with the Panchatattva in the spiritual world. You read Chaitanya Charitamrita, and devotees are cooking for the members of the Panchatattva. They're offering food to them, feeding them, offering them a place to rest afterwards. It's amazing that we are actually engaged in the very activities that the pure devotees in the spiritual world engage in, that the direct associates of the Lord engage in. But of course they do it with completely pure consciousness and love. And even if we're not fully on that level, one can awaken those feelings through the process of cooking for the Lord, offering foodstuffs to the Lord, offering worship, arati to the Lord, bathing the Lord, dressing the Lord, putting the Lord to rest. These are the activities of the Lord's associates in the spiritual world. And that is also the Lord's mercy, that although He's God Almighty, but He places Himself in the hands of His devotees. He becomes dependent on His devotees. If you don't feed me, I'll be hungry. If you don't give me water to drink, I'll be thirsty. He becomes like a dependent on his devotee, and that gives the devotee a wonderful opportunity to serve the Lord as Srila Prabhupada would say, that in other conceptions they think of God as the Father, and the duty or nature of the children is to take service from the Father. I need this, I want that. But in the Gaudiya Vaishnav conception, God becomes the child of the devotee. So the devotee, instead of thinking, oh God, you're my father, give me this, give me that. I have so many needs, I have so many wants, you're my father, you have to fulfill them. But the devotee is thinking, oh, Krishna's my son, I have to feed Krishna, otherwise Krishna will be hungry. So it's a very elevated and sublime concept, and it is part of the process of bhakti yoga that has come down to us specifically from Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu through Rupa Goswami and our other acharyas. And so Tulsi Manjari is being recognized for her sincere and dedicated service over many years, not just since her first initiation, but also leading up to her first initiation. She also has many responsibilities at home, and she's unfailing in her duties at home also to her children. So she's actually quite an exemplary devotee. And so it's a great pleasure for us to recognize her and give her second initiation. Of course, for most of her daily activities in spiritual life or in the temple, she will be guided by His Grace Tukaram Prabhu. I've also been aware of Tukaram Prabhu's standards in terms of deity worship, both on the altar and in the kitchen. And the standard that he adheres to and requires is really basic. People are so contaminated and fallen in Kali Yuga, they think that this is something very demanding, that we have to do all these things, but this is what it is. It's really just the basic standard. Yesterday we were reading from Yamuna Devi's book, Yamuna Devi, A Life of Unalloyed Devotion. Sarvatma Prabhu was reading aloud to me, and she was like totally new. She'd never met devotees, really. And her sister, Janaki, was getting married to Mukunda. And so Srila Prabhupada invited, well, it was understood that the family members would come for the wedding. So Yamuna, who was named Joan at the time, showed up. He had no idea who Srila Prabhupada was or what Krishna consciousness was. And he immediately put her to work in the kitchen. And she, if she did anything that a proper cook for the Lord should not do, he would immediately tell her, go wash your hands. It was like a mantra. Like, you know, like it was hot. It was really hot for her. Like, so she did this. Go wash your hands. So after, like, quite some time of enduring the heat, perspiring, she became thirsty. By then she understood, like, there's a lot of rules, and you just can't do whatever you want when you want. So she said, Swamiji, can I get a glass of water to drink? Go wash your hands. So she left the kitchen, washed her hands, and as she was walking back towards the kitchen, he was waiting in the hallway with a glass of water for her. And then he explained that actually when one is cooking for the Lord, one should not think of anything other than one's service to the Lord. One should not think of one's own bodily demands or needs. But still, you know, it's been a long day, and so here's a glass of water you can drink. She drank the glass of water, and then guess what he said? Go wash your hands. she just came to expect like anything, you know. So then after a while she said, Swamiji, can I go and smoke a cigarette? Prabhupada said, go wash your hands. So she went and washed her hands, and he met her in the hallway. And he explained the four principles. She'd never even heard them. Explained the four principles, and he said, we just don't do that. And, okay. She let it go. So from the very beginning, he was like so clear on what we're doing. We're cooking for the Lord, and there's no room for sense gratification. There's no room for compromises between devotional service and sense gratification. It's just everything is focused on Krishna. So these standards are not extraordinary. That the temple president is like some sort of fanatic or, you know, some sort of extremist. No, these are really basic. And considering the real strict standards, there are some, you know, minor concessions. Like, really one shouldn't, you know, drive to the temple and then engage in worship. One should actually take bath at the temple and put on fresh cloth at the temple. But Tukaram, out of his compassionate nature and practical nature, okay, you can bathe and put on fresh cloth at home, but the car seat has to be clean, maybe covered, you know, not to make a farce of it. It's a very serious thing. You're dealing with the Lord. So you're fortunate to be engaged in Laguna Beach under Tukaram Prabhu's guidance and surveillance. And I'm sure you'll take it all very seriously and do your best to do exactly what you're told. Hare Krishna.
My question. You said regarding the Gayatri, suppose you are engaged in doing devotional service and you don't have time, and the time is passed. It's the same thing that we do.
Well, again, we shouldn't take it lightly. You know, this is our appointment with God. And it's very, but it could be. I mean, therefore, that other injunction is there. But, it could be. We can't get away. But otherwise, we should try to take out 5 or 10 minutes. But according to the Gayatri book, which is really a compilation of different principles gathered from different authorities. There's some leeway. I mean, I heard that there's like a leeway of some time after the actual sandhya. But otherwise, he says if one misses it, unavoidably, then one can do 2 times at the next sandhya. I knew a person, quite a experienced Gaudiya Vaishnava in Vraj. His schedule was such that but this is what he did. His schedule was such that he apprehended that he wouldn't be able to do his midday Gayatri. So he would do 2 in the morning when he was like very fresh and clean and sort of, I guess if you can make it up later, you can do it, do it before. But that's what the Gayatri book says, and it's that you do 2 times the next sandhya.
Another question. When you are working at lunchtime at office, you cannot take a shower, so you can still say Gayatri each time you have to take a shower? Gayatri?
No. I mean, that's ideal, but no. I mean, that would not be practical for, yeah. But you should touch water. You should purify yourself.